Good morning, Kingwood. Again, I'm delighted to be with you today, and especially on this Memorial Day weekend. I wish you all the best, and like you, I'm so thankful for our nation and honor those who gave their lives in service to our nation. And I do believe that as Christians, we're called to be the best citizens that we can possibly be. So again, good morning. For those of you of whom I've not had an opportunity to meet, my name is Ronnie. I live about 50 miles away, but I've really enjoyed being with you over the almost last year. This is my 15th opportunity to be here and enjoy it all. And as I've told you several times, my wife and I, we pray for you regularly. And we're really excited for you. And as you're on a horizon of a new season here at the Kingwood Church of Christ. And if you are a guest here, may I just say to you, this is a good, healthy body of believers. Let me invite you to come back and then come back again. Give it a chance, okay? Don't ever just visit a church one time. Every church has a down Sunday. You know that, don't you? You need to come for, my wife years ago said, would tell someone, said, you need to give it the 3 to 6 month trial. She said, I'm serious. Come for an extended period of time. Meet some people. You might be sitting next to, well, I'm not going to go there. But maybe change where you're sitting, okay? And they're going to meet some fine, fine folks. And you're going to get a taste of that church. Come to everything. Sunday morning, go to a class. They're having a wedding. You're not invited. Show up anyway. You just come on and get a taste, get a feel for that church family. And this is a good one right here. Well, today, and you may know this, today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost was originally an agricultural feast. Then it became associated with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. It means 50th. But as believers, we're mindful of Pentecost because 50 days after the resurrection, you had really the birth of the church, the birthday of the church. And we're going to get to that story in Acts chapter 2 here in just a moment. The title of today's message is Welcome, Holy Spirit. May I ask you a question? Is the Holy Spirit welcome in your life? Is the Holy Spirit welcome in our collective church life? I pray so. And I would remind you that anytime anything good, anything lasting here in this church, anytime anything good has been done, it is the Holy Spirit of God who's making it happen, moving, prompting, filling. The Holy Spirit is still among and within His people. And what makes a church alive and not just assembled is the presence of the Spirit, because the body without the Spirit's dead. The church body without the Spirit is dead. But you have the Spirit. If you've been baptized into Christ, and we do as well. And I want us, though, to welcome the presence of the Spirit. Because wherever you might be in your knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and in your experience of the Holy Spirit, I urge you to continue to welcome the presence of the Spirit. And Jesus even taught us to pray. Not that we don't have the Spirit, but that the Spirit might have more and more of us. Let me start by just giving you 3 quick observations about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Here's the first one. The Holy Spirit is the invisible presence of God among and within us. The real, invisible presence of God among and within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. May I remind you that the Holy Spirit's not an it, not an impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is a personal being. The Holy Spirit is God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. You've heard the term Trinity. Trinity simply means triunity. Now, the Holy Spirit is the real, invisible presence of God within you and within us as a church family. Now, most of us walked into this room today trusting invisible things. You cannot see Wi-Fi, but your phone depends on it. You cannot see electricity, but this room is filled with examples of electricity. You may not see the wind. This illustration comes from Jesus himself. You may not see the wind, but you see the tree bending. And you cannot see the Holy Spirit, but the presence of the church, the presence of transformed lives, evidence of his presence. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is our holy helper and the source of spiritual life. If you'll remember one phrase, it's this: who is the Spirit? He's your holy helper. What does he help me do? Yes. He helps you use your gifts. He helps you develop the fruit of the Spirit. He helps you mature in character. The Bible calls him a comforter. Anybody here besides me go through times where you need comfort? And you need encouragement. You need help. The Holy Spirit is our holy helper. Titus chapter 3 says this: God saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. The washing of rebirth, an allusion to baptism, and renewal in the Holy Spirit. And here's the third phrase. You ready? Since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is the abiding resident in every believer. Now let me take you to the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning verse 4. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave his followers this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but I want you to wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Imagine being in those early disciples. Imagine being in their shoes. Picture the apostles, if you will. For 3 years, they've walked with Jesus. They didn't know what to think on that dark Friday when Jesus was executed. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. They're so excited. They're with him. They're galvanized. But now Jesus has been telling them that he's going away, that he is ascending back to heaven, and they are about to go through a huge change in their world. And you know and I know that sometimes change can really be traumatic. Sometimes change feels like a merry-go-round. All right, where is this going? Is it going anywhere? Is there any purpose here at all? Sometimes change feels like a funeral. Lost something. But sometimes change can actually be like a garden where there are new possibilities and new life coming about. And Jesus says, even though I'm going away, it's for your benefit. I'm sending the Spirit. And you think, of all the reasons, why would it be to their benefit? Well, here's just one simple reason. When Jesus was in Judea, he couldn't be in Galilee. When he was in Galilee, he couldn't be in Judea. If Jesus in the flesh, that's who Jesus is, he's God in the flesh. If he were in Kingwood, he couldn't be in Sugarland, because in the flesh can't be two places at once. But he says, I'm sending my Spirit to inhabit Karen and Tim and David and you and me. And we're going to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem, listen to this scene now, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And they'd come there to celebrate what? Pentecost. The giving of the law. People from somewhere between 15 and 17 different nations and ethnic groups. Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue, in our own language." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" The languages that they were speaking, this is not heavenly language. This is not angelic language. This is not some mysterious coded language. The people in that crucial moment were able to speak in specific, are you listening? Identifiable, known languages and dialects to the people there in Jerusalem that needed to hear this message that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. You say, well, how in the world did they know they were from Galilee? Well, if nothing else, their accent. You know, if I were to say to you, parlez-vous français? No one in this room is going to think, I never knew Ronnie was born in France. No, I can say parlez-vous français, but it sounds like combination of Tennessee and Texas. But listen, God's not waiting until those first speakers sounded polished, educated, sophisticated, or impressive. The power of God came upon ordinary people, and the Holy Spirit is still using very ordinary people to accomplish his work and mission. And by the way, what you see here in the book of Acts, it's a beautiful reversal, is it not? From the Tower of Babel. At Babel, languages divided humanity. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is uniting humanity from all these different nations, uniting them through the message of Jesus. My friends, you could even say that when the church was born, when the church started, it started multilingual. It started multinational. It started missionary from the very first sermon. Let me be very, very clear. The gospel of Jesus Christ is very, very inclusive. Whosoever will may come. From all nations, all are welcome. But let me also be very, very clear. But the message of the gospel is also very exclusive as well. What do I mean? Keep listening. Because Peter is going to tie all this together and preach a sermon about Jesus Christ. Verse 36 of Acts 2. Therefore, let all of Israel, be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Savior. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? This is what I mean when I say that the gospel is inclusive, whosoever will may come, and very exclusive, to quote Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And so these people, they've been convicted that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they asked a simple question, what must I do? And I may be speaking to someone this morning, and you've been coming to faith along the way. And maybe this very morning you're saying, what do I need to do? How do I take my next step to become a believer, to become a Christian? Well, here's the answer, the first answer to that question from the Apostle Peter. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of, say the next two words with me, Jesus Christ. By the way, this is what the Holy Spirit does. Constantly pointing to Jesus. Constantly pointing to Jesus. Constantly pointing to Jesus. It says, repent and be baptized. I have six grandchildren. My oldest grandchild, Jackson, turned 18 just a few months ago. He graduated from high school a couple of weeks ago. He's a great kid. Kind of fearless, actually. For his 18th birthday, he wanted to go skydiving. And there was no hesitation whatsoever. Now, I have flown hundreds of thousands of miles domestically and internationally. Not one time have I thought, you know, I think I'd like to jump out of this airplane. That has never, ever been a temptation to me. And if Jackson had said to me on that day, Pops, would you come with me to the airport? Come on, let's go. And had I gone with Jackson to the airport, had I gotten on that plane with him, had I been with him strapped into a parachute, and we get up to 14,000 feet, which is almost 3 miles, and we're up and ready to jump, that door opens, Jackson goes, and then I'm standing there ready to go. You know what I would have done? Answer, I would have repented. Yeah, that's what I would have done. I would have changed my mind instead of losing my mind. I would have changed my mind and done something, I think, in a good positive direction. A lot of people hear the word repent and they think it's all this negative word. Repentance is one of the most beautiful gifts ever. In fact, as a Christian, we're taught to be repenting all the time. Repentance simply means to change your mind in a good direction. You learn something new, you change your mind. Some of you need to repent and come to Jesus. Change your mind about who Jesus is. Change your mind about him and be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is a promise. It's for you, your children, and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Some of you have heard the term, those of you who are church historians are familiar with the term, the Restoration Movement. Big leaders out of the Restoration Movement were Thomas Campbell, his son Alexander Campbell, Barton Stone, but here's a fourth name, Walter Scott. Walter Scott was born in Scotland, attended the University of Edinburgh for 6 years, moved to the States, spent most of his ministry time in Ohio for about 30 years, and it was said that he was responsible for about 1,000 baptisms per year in his preaching and teaching. And Walter Scott was known for his five-finger sermon. Some of you may have heard this. The five steps of salvation. You know what they are? From Walter Scott, it comes like this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and turn to Him. By the way, let me just a little addition here. Repent doesn't mean become perfect. You can't do that. But you can change your direction. It's direction, not perfection. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin. Be baptized. And then he says, and here's what God does. Number four, forgives your sins. And number five, gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here you see it poured out for the first time in Acts chapter 2. And then verse 40, and with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt, this generation that has no purpose. And those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. They were baptized because all around Jerusalem you have these mikvahs, these small, basic ceremonial washing pools. That's how they could baptize 3,000 people in one day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. All right, let me sort of tie this together with a couple of statements. Here's the first one. Through the Holy Spirit, because you see the early church, there they are, they're baptized, they received the Spirit, and they continued in the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, breaking of bread and to prayer. Through the Holy Spirit, let's think we and not just me. Listen carefully. The Holy Spirit is not given merely to improve your private spirituality. The Holy Spirit is given also to create a supernatural community. The Spirit forms a family, not just individuals. And we live in such an age of individualism, do we not? Personalized playlists, personalized feeds, personalized coffee orders. But the Spirit is forming us into a family, not consumers in an audience. And you know this. One of the best known passages of Scripture in all the Bible is that great 1 Corinthians 13, often read at weddings, but it's not a love chapter for marriages. It can be applied to marriage. It's written to a church and how a church can handle differentness, various stages of maturity, personal hurt feelings along the way. Because the church in Corinth, they were having these big debates over what spiritual gift is the most valuable to the church. What spiritual gift is the most important? And Paul answers it. Here it is. The litmus test of the Holy Spirit is love. Here you go. That's the litmus test of the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life and yours. It's Christian love. You remember how Paul starts that 1 Corinthians 13 chapter? If I could speak with all the language, if I could speak angel language and have not love, I'm nothing. Hey, let me ask you a question. If I could speak angel, would you be impressed? Shake your head this way. You'd be impressed if I could. But if I could speak like an angel and have not love, I'm nothing. If I could sing like an angel and have not love, I'm nothing. And he says, if I could fathom all mysteries and had all knowledge, let's say I decided to do an open forum here. Gang, ask me any question. And someone tries to stump me and say, Ronnie, could you quote the book of Ezekiel? And I do it in Hebrew. Backwards. Would you be impressed? Yes, you'd be impressed. But if I could do that and not be pursuing a life of love, I'm nothing. So the Holy Spirit is coaching all of us, helping all of us to think we and not just me. Final point. Spiritual growth occurs through both divine and human agency. Both. Over time, our character develops. We use our gifts to honor the Lord. We develop the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. And it's not all God's work. I mean, God just doesn't give us a holy zap. But neither am I all on my own. There's this beautiful partnership. And partnership, partner, means I have a part and God has a part. My part's never supernatural. Only God does the supernatural. But my part's natural. And that's what, you know, and I would encourage you to keep being filled with the Spirit, which is what the Bible says. And it's repetitive. You say, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Somebody says, well, why don't we just get filled with the Spirit and stay filled with the Spirit? Answer, you leak. That's why. You do. It's like Peter, Jesus washed his feet. Well, Lord, you don't need to wash my feet. Yeah, Peter, I do. I'm teaching you a spiritual lesson here. You're clean, but you go walking around in the world, your feet get dirty. You need your feet washed. And that's why it's important to stay hydrated. You're not a person in this room that would say, you know, Ronnie, I had a drink of water back in 2017. You stay hydrated. You keep coming to church. You keep hanging around people who love Jesus. You keep resisting the pull of the world. You keep feeding your faith. You keep hoisting your sails so that the wind of the Spirit, you do your part. God does His part. And there's somebody in this room today that says, Ronnie, you don't know my past and my history. I'm not worthy to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me carefully. You're exactly right. You're not worthy. You're not worthy to go to heaven. Jesus Christ has made us worthy. Jesus is the one who lived the perfect life. We can get credit for it. Jesus is the one who went to the cross and paid the sacrifice for our sins. And He has made us worthy, and that's why, as believers, we can serve the Lord, worship the Lord, but we never brag on ourselves. We give praise and honor to the one who deserves it, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is constantly pointing to Jesus as our Savior. So today, though, the Holy Spirit, the invisible presence of God, do you need in a fresh way to say, welcome, Holy Spirit, in my life? To say, Spirit, have your way with me. Be filled with the Spirit, and then, well, Mike Bro once said, there was a lady at his church that kept coming up to him saying, you know, Mike, I'm just full of the Spirit. And today, coming to church, I just feel so full, I'm all filled up. And he said, I think that's fantastic. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there and slosh around on somebody. You're full. You go out there and you just slosh around. And maybe this week at your office, at the gym, at HEB, in your church gatherings, when you're running through the airport, maybe you'll have an opportunity to slosh around on somebody and give them a touch of the love, joy, and peace that you know through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can serve you in some way, I got to tell you, this church, we'd love to serve you. If we can help you take your next step of baptism, maybe have a Bible study with you, help you re-engage spiritually. Because sometimes life can beat us down. We tend to get really, really weary. And that's okay to go through that season. It happens to us all. But do you need the help and the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the help and the comfort of God's Spirit-filled people? We'd like to assist. If this morning you want to be baptized, ask for prayer. You'll have an opportunity to do that in a moment. Right now, if you would please, would you stand? I'd like to lead us in prayer. And then Craig's going to lead us in our song. Father God, how we thank you and praise you for your kindness and goodness to us. And we confess that we indeed are powerless without you, and we need you to tear down strongholds. Lord God, I'm not just asking for the individuals here, but for this church family. Stretch out your hand and work through us together. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in the name of Jesus to have unhindered sway in our lives. Use us to the glory and honor of the Father, Son, and Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.